We hear the word covenant in our readings today, particularly in that reading from Genesis, that covenant that there will never again be a flood. I'd love to hear that reading being read today in the churches in Boston as they await the big thaw of all this snow that is coming their way. Could be another flood. But the word covenant, we're in the Lenten season, and Lent really is a season that prepares us to renew our baptismal covenant. It's a time to reflect upon that baptismal covenant, renew ourselves, so that we can truly celebrate that on Easter Day. I'd like to offer you some thoughts this morning on ways of possibly entering into that. During the season of Lent, oftentimes people do things, give things up, do different things. I'd like to give you something to consider to do during this season of Lent, if you would like to. Aimed at renewing our baptismal covenant. Now, a lot of people say, I'm for that. Let's renew our baptismal covenant. What is that? What's the baptismal covenant? What are we talking about? When we celebrate baptism during the year, particularly most of the baptisms are at this 11:15 service, there's a part of the service where we actually enter into the baptismal covenant. I'd like to invite you, if you could, to open your Book of Common Prayer to page 304. Page 304 in front of you. This is what's called the baptismal covenant. And it begins with three questions that I just want to refer to. One is, do you believe in God the Father? The next question is, do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? The third one is, do you believe in God the Holy Spirit? So it's kind of that question, the question's aimed at the Trinity. Do you believe in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And the response to those questions is formulated in the words of the Apostles' Creed, one of the most ancient creeds of the church, which defined perhaps that understanding. And so we say those. But it's the next five questions that I'd like to reflect on this morning. These next five questions, which are really unique to the Book of Common Prayer, invite us to go very deep. And I'd like to offer some thoughts on them and invite you, what I'd like to do is invite you during this season of Lent, these 5 weeks of Lent, to perhaps consider taking one of these questions each week. It's something I do every few years, enter into a way of kind of, whether it's driving to work, whether it's at lunchtime, whether it's in the evening, whether it's in the morning, whatever your day looks like. Perhaps beginning the day with that question, sort of pondering it at those moments during the day as you go on, perhaps enter you into this. Let me offer some thoughts that I have on these questions. What I want to offer to you, these aren't the answers to the questions, but it's my reflections on these questions, and perhaps just give you an idea of how you could engage with these as well. The first question is, will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers? Baptism really is the beginning of a life. It's not the completion of some stage of our life. It's not a graduation, but it's, will you continue in this learning? Will you continue in the apostles' teaching? You could read that as meaning, yes, I'll continue to live according to the apostles' teaching, but it could also be interpreted as, I will continue to learn what this apostles' teaching is all about. What does it mean? What is it to me? We never totally understand everything there is to be understood about our faith, about the Holy One, about the Wondrous One, about God. We're continually learning and engaging from the experiences of our lives. And how do we continue that? So there's an invitation to continue that. And here at St. Paul's, we provide different ways of doing that. Certainly during these next few Sundays, we have adult ed classes going on, and which are of great interest. There's also a Bible study happening on Wednesday nights. There's lots of opportunities. Of course, learning doesn't mean just sitting in a classroom here at church. There's many ways that we learn, just reflecting on our experiences that are presented to us and going deeper in learning. So will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in the prayers? To me, the breaking of the bread symbolizes to us the Eucharist You know, will you continue to gather in fellowship with a community and share the Eucharist together, to be fed and nourished by that Eucharist, to make that a part of your journey, a part of your learning, a part of your understanding? We need to be in community. None of us can live this life alone. So will you continue? Will you continue? The answer is, I will, with God's help. Then the next question, will you persevere in resisting evil? And whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord. Notice the question isn't saying, will you persevere in resisting evil? And if you fall into sin, it's saying, whenever you fall into sin. You know, this, I think we miss that sometimes. What a loving God this is. He realizes, you know, we oftentimes in our lives, we're going to miss the target, which is the ancient understanding of the word sin, to miss the target. And yet, I don't know where it came about in the Christian tradition that somehow when we are in that place in our lives that we need to feel separated from the community, as if being part of the community is some sort of worthy system. But rather what this is saying is, you know, whenever, I know you've said you believe this, you believe this, you believe it, you're going to continue to learn, but you know, welcome to the human family. You know, we're not always going to be doing it as well as we like, and this is a place to be, a place for healing, a place for forgiveness, a place for reconciliation, a place to renew that commitment. So I find that question to really be the expression of an incredibly loving God who cares for us deeply. The third question is, will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? Those first two questions are somewhat, you know, will you continue in the apostles' teaching? You know, whenever you fall into sin, repent and return. But this third question begins now, okay, but now let's start looking beyond. Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? Will somehow your life show forth that? Proclaim doesn't just mean through the use of words. Some in the community are called forth to express things in words. It's what I do on Sundays, the clergy do on Sundays. It's, you know, we preach, we're proclaiming. But that's not the only meaning of proclaiming. There's other ways we do that in our lives. It's, you know, the famous quote of St. Francis of Assisi, preach always, only when necessary use words. That idea of the way that we live our lives, the way we make decisions, the way we make choices, does it show forth this good news? Does it show forth this life that we are living, trying to live, and let it be shown forth in the world? It really is what this baptismal covenant is about, going forth and proclaiming. The fourth question, which I think is the most difficult, will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? Will you seek Christ in all persons? You know, there's people I know that I find it very easy to seek Christ. But when I hear that question, it's the other ones that come to my mind. Are you kidding me? You know, seek Christ in him? Seek Christ in her? How do you do that? How do you do that? How do you find the Christ in the midst of a broken world at times where it's very difficult to see the Christ? How do we seek out Christ? How do we go forth into the world and find Christ already there? Now, that's the challenge we've had as a diocese, or Bishop Curry, you know, let us go to Galilee. Let us go forth into the world and find that Christ is already at work in the world. And how do we join that? How do we see that and be part of that and be a transforming presence in our world? How do we seek and serve Christ in all persons? Loving your neighbor as yourself. That's a challenging one. Ponder that one for a week. That's to me is a very inviting question. And the fifth question is, will you strive for justice and peace among all people? And respect the dignity of every human being. Will you strive for justice and peace among all people? And respect the dignity of every human being. Now, the question's not saying, will you strive for justice and peace among all Christians? Will you strive for justice and peace among all faithful people? It's all people. I don't know where we
get this notion.
Some of our fellow brothers and sisters in this Christian walk interpret it this way, but it just doesn't speak to me. This idea that somehow being a person of faith, being baptized, being a Christian is somehow being part of some elite. And we have some sort of free ticket to heaven. That way of seeing this is just not the lens that I see this Christian walk through. The question I find so, I'll be honest with you, I find so offensive is the line, "Are you saved?" As if that is what this is about. I'm not even sure what that question means. As if this faith is between me and God, you and God. But rather, this journey, this faith, is about a people called by God, and in our tradition, through baptism, to put on the lens of Christ, to put on the way of seeing the dream and the vision of God for this world, and being called forth to go into the world, not just to those who believe like us, not just those who think like us, but to realize that as a people, we are one people. And how do we bring about that peace and that justice for the entire world? It's a challenge, and we cannot do this alone. We need to walk together as a people of faith to live into this. So will you strive for justice and peace among all people? And let that striving influence how we go about our lives, how we choose leadership, how we decide who our leaders will be, who will also strive for this justice and peace for all people and respect the dignity of every human being. That's the baptismal covenant, and it will transform our lives. So I invite you during this season of Lent to sit with these questions. Sit with these questions. You may not have the same reflections that I have. You may not even agree with the reflections I have. That's fine. Welcome to the community. We walk together, we live together, and together we share our experiences of how God is working, how God is at work in our lives. But let us be able to gather here in 5 weeks on Easter Day to stand and proclaim this baptismal covenant. It is our custom here on Easter Day to pray this baptismal covenant, and while we're doing that, clergy will go through the congregation sprinkling us with the waters of baptism, a reminder to us of this call, a reminder to us of who we are. And after this 5 week of reflection, we may truly be able to stand before each other and stand before God. Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in the prayers? I will, with God's help. Will you persevere in resisting evil? And whenever you fall into sin, repent, return to the Lord. I will, with God's help. Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? I will, with God's help. Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? I will, with God's help. And will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? I will, with God's help. The only way we can do this is by being a community and letting us here at St. Paul's be guided and nurture and feed each other as we walk this journey together. I give thanks for living this faith journey here at St. Paul's, and let this season of Lent be a time of renewal for all of us, a reminder of the dream and the vision that God has for this world and our call as a baptized people to bring about that dream and that vision.